Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Du lyssnar på Dekonstruktiv kritiks julkalender. Jag är Aron Flam. Idag ska vi se vem eller vad som döljer sig bakom lucka nummer 5. Nämen, är det en liberal judisk bögnazist? Ja, i alla fall om man ska tro den amerikanska vänstern, som i och för sig har blivit rätt cray-cray det senaste decenniet.
You did work for Daily Show for a while back in the late 90s, right?
Yeah, well, I was an intern over there at a really interesting time, actually, because Craig Kilborn was the first host of the Daily Show, who was a guy that came over from SportsCenter on ESPN, who I really liked. And he had just left and Jon Stewart had just taken over. So it was an interesting time because their senses of humor were very different. There was a lot of turnover with the writers because their styles were very different. And the Daily Show wasn't what it eventually became at that point. It was just catching on. It was just at the beginnings of that. But it was great to be around.
But it is fair. Yeah. It is fair to call Jon Stewart a populist for the left, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly my point. That's a great point. So there are populists on the left, a guy like Jon Stewart. He's giving you the exact populism of the left. But if you were to say to the average leftist, oh my God, that person's a populist, they would go, uh-oh, that means they're somehow right wing. So you're making a great point and an important distinction there. But I had a couple interactions with Jon, and I'll tell you this, you'll appreciate this as a comic. I was young, you know, I was just out of college, I guess. And I was at a party and I went up to him. And again, he wasn't the Jon Stewart we all know now, but was certainly a celebrity and has on TV show. And I said, hey, Jon, you know, I'm an intern here. My name's Dave. I'm a stand up. I said, is there one bit of advice you could give me? Which now in retrospect, as a comic, sounds like the stupidest and most corny thing you could ever say to a comedian. But without pausing, without even thinking, he said two words: don't stop. And interestingly, that has so always resonated with me, because what he's saying there is, yeah, it's going to suck. It's going to suck. You're going to watch great comics, you know, disappear. You're going to watch guys that suck get to the top. You're going to have to perform at shitty clubs. You're going to have to starve at times. You have to stand out on the street and hand out tickets and all these horrible things. But if you want it, you just can't stop. And that always stuck with me. And there were times, as I'm sure you felt, where I just didn't want to do it anymore, and I couldn't believe that, you know, the struggles of it and all that stuff. And that just always stuck with me, like, don't stop. If I ask this guy, who's now the voice of American comedy, what his advice was, and then I don't take it, well, then what kind of person am I? So it did stick with me in a good way.
No, and I think he's right, because I've been at this for long now, and by now it seems that one is, in a way, unstoppable. You are your own little show, and it just goes on.
What else are you going to do, Aaron? What are your other skills?
By now I've burned every bridge there is to burn in Sweden, so I think... I have no choice, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually, when it comes to the kids, they say YOLO, you only live once. Well, I think it is it's the terrors of my past and the bleakness of my future that keep me centered in the now.
I hear you, brother.
But I think what you said about populism is interesting, because I think what happened in Europe, at least after the Second World War, was that the right wing, because Nazis in on the European political scale is basically a right wing phenomenon. I know that on your political scale, they're a left wing phenomenon beyond communism. Mm-hmm. But in Europe, they're generally seen as a right wing thing. And I think... after the Second World War, the political right-wing parties of Europe had to deal with their Nazi and fascist heritage. They had to throw them out, the crazies, basically. But the left didn't have to do that with their communists and the revolutionaries and the radicals. So they just kept on going. And when the Berlin Wall crashed in 1989, one would think that the socialist or socialist democratic parties of Europe would come to their senses and, you know, try to get their crazies at arm's length, so to speak. But they didn't. And I think that is a big reason why we're in this mess today.
I think that's it's a great point. And I can give you the American version of that, which is happening right now. And I'll give you the exact moment when I realized it. So there was a moment during the campaign, you may have seen this, when Bernie Sanders was given a speech outdoors and the Black Lives Matter people just grabbed the mic started screaming in the mic, and he just stood there and took it. He didn't try to stop them. His people didn't stop them. They had absolutely no right to do this. Everyone was there to hear Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, the farthest left progressive, basically socialist politician we have in America, by the way, who's been in the Senate for 30 years and I think has one piece of legislation in his name, but you know, everyone thinks he's the one that's going to bridge the divide and all that. Okay, fine. But that example to me was so obvious that the monster, you're right, they didn't take care of their monsters. So what happened was Bernie knew intuitively, and his people knew, if Bernie gets up there and shows some balls and does what's right and says, you know what, people are here to talk to me or hear me speak, but you know what, at the end of this, we'll do a Q&A and I'll let you vent your feelings and we can have a discussion after, or maybe a meeting. If Bernie had balls and principles and done what's right, he could have put a little bit of a stop to that monster. But instead, he just stood there because he didn't want the same tactics that the left has used for so long of calling everyone a racist, bigot, homophobe, Islamophobe, blah, blah, blah. He didn't want that turned on him. So he knew if he grabs that mic and does what's right, that the left, the people that are further left than him, will turn on him. And he will now be an old white guy who's grabbing a microphone from Black people.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is a crazy proposition, but it goes to exactly what you're saying. They never clean up their own side because it's made up of destroying people. And they know the second they try to do that, and this is what I've done, which is why everyone that hates me is on the left, even though, so I'm gay married, I'm pro-choice, I'm against the death penalty, I'm for a social safety net, I'm for single payer health care, I'm for legalizing weed. I get no hate.
You're an atheist.
I'm an atheist. I get no hate from people on the right, virtually none. If anything, I get emails every day from Christian conservatives saying, you know what, I disagree with you on a lot of stuff, but it's very refreshing hearing a decent liberal. I get relentless hate now from people on the left. Take a look at my Twitter. It's a joy, really.
I do follow you on Twitter.
Yeah. Yes. So that's my point, is that because they didn't clean up what they should have, they've been left with this monster, and I've been predicting it for at least a year, but mark my words, they will throw Bernie out one day. This thing is going to get worse, and they will get rid of Bernie one day too. And by the way, they'll get rid of Elizabeth Warren and everyone else, because this is a movement based on destruction. And victimhood is their highest virtue, and you can only play that victim card for so long. So bye-bye Bernie, who made $1 million last year and has three houses and drives a $100,000 car and all that stuff, which I don't begrudge him any of that, by the way. But once that's out there, really, and he's going to slip up one day, and you know, he gave the mildest, a couple months ago, the mildest defense of Israel. And you know, the left despises Israel now because it represents freedom in a terrible yeah. part of the world. And they turned on him because of that. I saw an article in Salon about how if Bernie doesn't accept intersectionality, he can't be a progressive. I mean, they will turn on him. And I have to say, I'll enjoy it when they do.
But how did it get so bad in the United States? Because when I started deconstructive criticism in one of the earlier episodes, I said something along the lines of I used to think McCarthyism was bad,
mm-hmm.
but lately I've been feeling maybe he had the right idea. He was just a bit ahead of his time. But in Europe, we never dealt with socialism. But you Americans, you really dealt with socialism in a very harsh way. How come this is happening now? How can this have spread so far through your system?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with what I was saying about hashtag resistance and the idea that these ideas, this oppression Olympics stuff, this intersectionality stuff, viewing everyone on their immutable characteristics. You know, the left will scream that everyone on the right's a racist, and they're the ones who constantly are looking at everyone's sexuality and race and color and all of those things, and whether do you have a limp or not, because then we have to judge you differently, and all this nonsense. This stuff got so entrenched in Hollywood, in the media, and all of this that it has become a monolith of a monster. And a great example of this, to go back a few minutes to Jon Stewart, watch Ayaan Hirsi Ali on Daily Show from a couple of years ago. It is horrible. Jon, it is the single worst moment I've ever seen of Jon. He is so dismissive of Ayaan, and because she doesn't play the identity politics game, and she goes in there and talks about the individual, she talks about radical mm-hmm. Islam. I'm sure I don't have to tell you or your audience the story about her. I mean, this is a woman who has lived through it, and there are dead bodies to prove it, undergoing female genital mutilation and all of that other stuff.
I will try to get her on the show, actually, but I haven't. Yeah,
Hopefully you'll get her at some point. She's wonderful and a true hero and a true feminist, by the way, and a true individualist, who I would vote to be president in a second, although technically she wasn't born in America, but whatever. But watch this interview, and he's dicing up and playing the identity politics game. He's everything that people don't like about elite leftist liberals. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he basically says to her, it ends by him saying, well, you're just trying to sell some books. I've never seen him that disrespectful or dishonest or smug to any other guest ever, including plenty of people on the right and Republicans and all that. But my point in this is that this is what's happened. This is the guy who was thought of as the conscience of America for the last 10 years and all this stuff. And by the way, by me even telling this story, I'll get a certain amount of hate because you're not allowed to say anything about him. I respect him, actually, and I would love to have him on the show. And I would try to unpack that whole situation. But to your point, this thing became so monstrous that that right now the left will look at someone like Linda Sarsour, who is an Islamist, and think that she's a feminist, and they'll look at Ayaan Hirsi Ali, and the Southern Poverty Law Center will put her on an anti-Muslim extremist list. So everything's backwards, and in a time when everything's backwards, if you bring a little sanity to the situation, like you're trying to do, like I'm trying to do, like some other people are trying to do, there is a price to pay for it.
Tack för att du lyssnar på Dekonstruktiv kritik. Jag är Aron Flam. Vill du stötta Dekonstruktiv kritiks arbete, och det vill du, så kan du göra det på patreon.com/aronflam. Patreon.com/aronflam är ett ord. Via PayPal med Bitcoin eller på Swish 0768 943737. 0768 943737. Du kan och bör också köpa boken Det här är en svensk tiger och boken Älskade public service, som jag skrivit tillsammans med Jens Ganman. Till nästa lucka, det vill säga imorgon, ha en god tidsenhet.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.